Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
LeBron, open three! God! 22 seasons, 40 years of age! LeBron James, 50,002 points!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's a hell of a lot of points, and I'm super blessed to be able to put that many points up.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, Basketball Hall of Famer George Raveling, Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain II, and now... It's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the air on the Roku Sports Channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. Smart enough to have us on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast, Sirius XM Channel 375, our Odyssey app friends. You can stream us listening. Of course, there's our podcast. Diana Russini sat down for Susie and Amy, the latest edition of What the Football. She hit on absolutely everything going on in the NFL. So much great information in there. I would suggest you check that out. You've got No Contest Wrestling with TJ and O'Shea recording later today. Overreaction Monday pod is out there on Monday. Jim Jackson, the latest episode of the Jim Jackson Show with his guest Spike Lee, will be dropping, as the kids say, on Thursday. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Daniel Jeremiah is first up. We're back from Indianapolis. We'll close the books on the Combine and hit the latest stories going on in the National Football League. George Raveling is in studio. A goat, that's, you know, awesome, is in studio. He's got a new book called What You're Made For. The longtime coach and also Michael Jordan Sherpa will be here in studio to chop that up. And the Defensive Player of the Year, Patrick Surtain II, will be joining us as well. And there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm great. What's up, man?
Good to see you, Jay Felling,
hey,
back here again.
Up,
good
Rich?
To see you. TJ Jefferson candle appears to be lit over
it's
there.
It's lit. How's everybody doing today?
We're good. We're good. So in the 10-plus year history of this show, there's a certain story that keeps coming up over and over again like a Mad Lib with a different proper name of the player involved and the team involved. The league is the National Football League, and the story, the narrative where you just change the names, is the name of a quarterback that Chris Brockman feels isn't deserving of the money that he's getting just because in the NFL, the way it works is when you play well at the quarterback position in your first contract and your second contract is up, it is now your turn to get paid generational amounts of money, if not the most money in the league, as the market keeps going up and up and up. Am I correct in that sort of assumption right there, Christopher?
Yeah, you need to earn what you get paid, Rich.
You
I don't think that's a novel idea.
You've been grinding that axe. You have been, for the literary folk out there, tilting at that windmill nonstop. I just called you the Don Quixote of the Rich Eisen Show.
I'll take it.
Very good.
Thank you.
So for this fact, Chris Brockman needs a hero. And in order to reset the market. And or a quarterback test case. Number of times we've been talking about, will a team eventually just tell the quarterback that has done very well for them in the first contract, not enough to pay you generational amounts of money. Dare I say, turning their quarterback into Luka Doncic, saying, we will just cut bait with you at age 25 because we're concerned about fill in the blank. Again, it's a mad lib. In the case of Luka, it's like drinking and not taking care of your body. We don't want to give you the supermax. Is there a quarterback out there? And I believe, Christopher, speaking for you again.
Thank you.
You have identified the latest test case for you, and his name is Brock Purdy. The guy who was chosen the last pick in the draft of his draft, and then performing very well, but for a very talented team, we're just rolling footballs out. Is it the coach? Is it the scheme? Yada, yada, yada. We had Steve Young on Monday. Had no idea that we would be front-loading this conversation when we had it with him, but I asked him his thoughts on the Brock Purdy, as we say in the sports TV radio business, situation. You know, that situation's a very large...
Covers a lot.
You know, I guess cauldron in which you can place everything, like a contract and a negotiation and his past work and whether he's deserving of it. That's the situation. Mm-hmm. Because we all know.
We ain't talking Jersey Shore.
The top of the market.
We are not.
Well done. Is $60 million set by this man's team's ownership, Jerry Jones. He will not set the coaching market. No. That he will not do. That is his red line.
You're asking too much.
He will go into the ownership room and say, you are spending too much on coaches who do not work for you anymore. Look at how much money we're wasting as a collective group of members. But paying your quarterback $60 mil, I'll do that. Sure.
He got short arms and deep pockets when it comes to the coaches.
And how many of his members might actually, you know, fellow members look at him and say, oh, you don't want me overspend on coaches, but thanks for resetting the quarterback market, Jerry.
It's marvelous.
So we spoke to Steve Young about the situation, and this is what he had to say.
The game today is dominated. The prototype is the guys that are winning the Super Bowls. The guys that can throw it all over the field, run all over the field, get all the free first downs, all the touchdowns that are out there with their legs. They press. Even if they don't use their legs every play, they threaten every play. It is the NFL today. So if Brock is 80% of that, you know what I mean? Like, he can threaten, he can move around, he can do all the things you do, and he can process as well as anybody. So in that way, you know, quarterbacks are so hard to find that Brock has done enough for sure to go out and get, you know, and get paid and get it done. Now, back to my original point, I don't know that it's going to be smooth. How could it be smooth, right? Because there's going to be, you know, Brock's people are going to want $60 million a year, and the 49ers, I'm just making this up, but 45, sure. I mean, whatever it is. And there's just going to be some back and forth. And but I guess just hold on to that thought that I gave you earlier about the spirit of what ownership and what, you know, general managers and even Kyle are thinking about and the rigor about how they're going to handle some of it. So I it'll get done. But I don't know how fast it'll get done.
Says it won't be smooth. And he mentioned, doesn't know what the Niners are going to offer. And he threw out the number 45.
Oh, interesting.
That's what Steve said on Monday. And then on Tuesday night, our buddy, my longtime colleague at the NFL Network, information man in the National Football League for many years, Jason LaConfora, tweeted out, 49ers playing hardball with Purdy is very on brand. Starting your offers at $45 million a year is something. The franchise tag for quarterbacks is $40 million, and they're offering Purdy, who's making $5.1 million this year. Let me do the math. The franchise tag plus what he's already making, and $100,000 for the effort. $45 million. And does this mean the Niners are attempting to reset the market? Which would be somewhat ironic, Chris, because if I had to name the top five people that you think do not deserve the kudos that he gets in the National Football League, in the history of this show that you pound the drum, it would be one of those on that list, Kyle Shanahan. And it does appear that he's part of the team that on this front, on this subject matter, on this grinding axe of yours, is the hero you've been waiting for.
Did I just become a 49er fan?
Look at you over there. Look at you over there.
Again, I've been saying this for years. You don't have to do it. You don't have to pay someone the max just because they're up next when they haven't done it and earned it with their play on the field. Now, Brock Purdy has taken them to a Super Bowl. He's also been hurt. He's also had a maxed out superstar roster around him and a coach that everyone seems to really think is a smart guy. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, but you all, like what you just said, earned it. The goal is to get to and win the Super Bowl, and he's put them in the position to do that.
He sure has.
So
he sure has.
Unlike a lot of quarterbacks who've gotten that, who haven't come close to doing what this guy has.
Making in the mid-50s.
If you're going to say someone has earned it, you got to kind of look at Brock and go, you've earned it.
That's correct.
Jimmy Garoppolo took them to the exact same place. And where's he right now?
Jimmy Garoppolo overshot somebody to try and win a Super Bowl.
I don't really like the narrative that that was a bad throw.
Oh,
dude, it hit his fingertips.
Excuse me. And also, Purdy had them in the red zone in overtime of a Super Bowl in which...
Did they not win?
Did they get
a touchdown?
Listen,
how'd that drive go?
As always, you got to go inside the numbers here. The Niners for 2025, currently their cap figures, the one making the most is Fred Warner at $29.2 million. Kittle's making $22 million. Trent Williams, $21 million. Nick Bosa, $20 million. They just got rid of Debo's $16 million. McCaffrey, believe it or not, has a cap figure this year of $9.4 million. I'm wondering if he's looking at what Saquon just hit yesterday and might be raising his hand. I don't know. And then you look at the cap, as I mentioned, franchise tag figure of this year, 40. Next one, apparently, unless these numbers change, $41 million. And the year after that is $51 million. So you're saying to Purdy, listen, you're making $5 million this year. We're willing to give you another $40 million. And then if you're going to be a little obstinate on this front, we'll franchise tag you at $41 million next year, which is less than what we're giving you now. And then we can franchise tag you the year after that, and that's $51 million. Add it up, Brock. And... that's more than 5.1. And guess what? You want to talk about a three-year deal? Maybe we'll throw a little bit more scratch than that average on the table. And now you're in the 50s. You say no to that? Like, that may be their approach here. And interesting enough, if they basically say, we can franchise tag you, and... this is how much you can make, and we're willing to give you a little bit more of it right now. So we have cap flexibility for you, and we can get more weapons for you. And not only that, you get the guarantees as opposed to going year to year. But if they're taking the approach where we can go year to year with you, and we're comfortable with that, and also, that shows potentially a little bit of a bet hedge on his abilities. The irony of this is the nonstop chatter that we've heard since Kyle Shanahan took the gig in San Francisco is that you've got to find yourself your next Kirk Cousins. Or maybe the genuine article, right? How many times our next guest, Daniel Jeremiah, says, if you're in the Shanahan or McVay system, you must pay fealty to Kirk Cousins, right? How many times have you had that made that joke?
You bow down.
Name me the last quarterback who the team said, we'll go franchise tagging year to year to year with you because that's all we're willing to do on various fronts, financially, as well as our hedge of a bet with your abilities. Who's the last quarterback who had that happen to him?
Oh, first team financial Hall of Famer, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. So it looks like they've really landed on their Kirk Cousins after all. if this is in fact the hardball, like again, Lock and Four is saying it's 45 out of the gate.
Yeah.
So you may have gotten the hero you've been looking for right now, Chris. It's not like, okay, Dak made 60. 60.1, sold. Let's go. Market's been reset by Jerry Jones. We're fine with that. Let's go. You're the next $60 million a year quarterback, Brock, because it's your turn. Doesn't appear to be
You don't have to do it. Oh, John Lynch, you beautiful SOB.
You just want to go up to Santa Clara and give him a hug?
Just want to give him a big old hug.
I wonder if Brock feels the same way.
Pat on the back.
Because now you're in Brock Purdy's pockets. I'm sure he's got something
really?
To say to you.
If I offered you a 9X raise, would you take it?
9X.
As opposed to
zero, 1X or zero.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're taking what you got.
I know. I thought maybe he might be like, on the other hand, there's a 15X.
We'll let you play it out. We'll let you play it out. And guess what? The $5 million you're making this year and a $41 million that you'd be franchise tagged for next year is $1 million less than we're willing to give you right now. You're leaving scratch on the table. Is that their approach with Brock Purdy?
Or they're not really sold.
You heard what Steve Young had to say. I think they're sold. But not to the tune of what Jerry did with Dak. You know? And remember, it was like a two-year logjam after the Browns gave every guaranteed dollar to Deshaun Watson, which created problems, if I'm not mistaken, due to just my memory here, created issues with the Cardinals and Kyler, right, for a little bit?
Yep.
Messed with that. Like, the Cardinals are like, yeah, just because every single dollar was guaranteed by Jimmy Haslam doesn't mean we have to do it.
And then Lamar was next, and then Hurts was next.
Right, and then not all of them did the guaranteed dollars, but they got theirs.
Herbert, Lawrence, Tua. Right.
And then Jerry finally acted the day before, or the day of the season last year.
I think all those guys have one Super Bowl, and that's Jalen Hurts.
You got your hero, Chris. It looks like it's materializing in San Francisco.
John Lynch.
And Steve Young was right. It's not going to be smooth, but it will get done. You and I both know this.
Whatever Rich Eisen says is true.
But that number might be, you start with a four. It might be fours.
I don't think so. It'll start with a five. It will start with a five. They'll get that up. Interesting. They'll meet in the middle. They'll figure that out. Might not be for more than 3 years.
Might be.
You know?
Does he get more guaranteed money than we think Stafford is going to get from the Rams?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I do believe so. We'll see. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, who left the Super Bowl wondering if Travis Kelce was going to play for him, Travis chimed in on that front today, officially, on the New Heights pod. He is coming back. We'll play those sound bites for you later on. But the other sense was, boy, are they just going to have to 1,000,000% bolster that offensive line. And they franchise tagged Trey Smith, not letting him go walk. But they traded Joe Tooney today to the Bears. And for a fourth round pick in the 2026 draft.
Which is what we said yesterday.
To save them $10 million in cap. And now the Bears trade a fourth round pick in next year's draft for Tooney and a sixth round pick in this year's draft to the Rams for J. Jonah Jackson. I added the first J.
Parker.
And the Bears are the ones hitting their offensive line. And the Chiefs let one of their best guys go. Like, he was the savior of the line when they were dealing with left tackle issues. He's like, I'll play a position that I'm not, used to playing and go out there. So, shrug emoji here. That's why we've got Daniel Jeremiah joining us next to not only break down the combine, but to tell us, interpret for us what is happening in your NFL news stack. DJ, next, this is the Rich Eisen Show. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. You remember the all-game Tetris? Remember that?
Yeah,
remember that?
Of course.
Dude, I'm playing Tetris on my phone every day.
Okay, so you know it.
Yeah.
So you know it. So then when you know when you play it over and over and over again and then close your eyes, you still see the blocks falling?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with the combine with me. Covering the combine for as long as we sit on TV, I close my eyes and I see like a 40. I see a vert. I see a broad jump. I see a wave drill. Daniel Jeremiah, do you have the same thing happen to you after we're covering a combine together? That happened to you?
Yeah, that's fair. Like okay. you go to bed, and now instead of just images of the combine, now I can hear the grunting, the 40-yard grunts. It startles you, kind of wakes you up in the middle of the night a little bit.
Who was the one who grunted from start to finish? Which one was that?
It was the Missouri guy.
No. Yeah. Membu did it. Last, you made like a Monica Seles reference on night one, right? It was a defensive lineman. I forget who it was.
I can't remember.
He was saying bite, bite, bite.
Yeah, the bite guy. Yeah. Remember that guy? He was biting from the beginning, right?
Yeah, it's a new thing. We've saw it with a couple different guys going through it, and it's not just like that one. It was like the rhythmic grunts, as you were kind of going through. Never seen it before. I did reach out on one of them. I think it was Membu because I reached out to Duke Manny whether he was training, and I said, "Is this a training technique? Like, is this like a new?" He said, "No, it's just his personality." I'm like, "Okay,
right, well, yeah, I guess like we can do this now. We can ask identify the runner by his grunt, right?" Yeah, that was Membu. Yeah, that was Membu. Membu. See what I mean?
Yep. There you go. That's fantastic.
it's the new metric, Daniel. Right? Like,
yeah.
Well, there's a red flag. His grunt's not loud enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he ran. It was a 4-grunt, 4-9-1.
That's right. A grunt for every 10 yards. Oh my gosh. That was so funny. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. My buddy, Daniel Jeremiah, because I can't quit him after 21 plus live hours of TV at the Combine. Let's hang out here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you again, DJ.
Good to see you, buddy. You gave me homework for this show. You do this every now and then. You gave me some homework to do. So I've done some Chiefs homework.
Okay.
Since you sent out the assignment.
So let's start that one off here because help folks understand that a team that clearly had offensive line issues losing the Super Bowl to the Eagles, who didn't blitz once, right? So it's not like they were overloaded on the Chiefs up front to try and protect Mahomes. Why would they trade away Joe Tooney, Daniel?
All right. Yeah, so this is a great question, and I'm just going to try and lay this out here. This is not if you're a Chiefs fan, this is not them removing resources from the offensive line and redistributing somewhere else.
Okay.
This is part of a plan, and this is just me looking at it and going through all the numbers and everything here. So let's start with this. You got five guys to start, right? So they have Creed Humphrey at center. Mm-hmm. He's 25 years old. They've got Trey Smith at right guard, who they just franchised, and I would imagine we'll get an extension done with him. He is 25 years old. And then they have Juwan Taylor at right tackle, who's 27 years old. So we've got three spots taken care of, center all the way out to right tackle. Now, they did have a hole at left tackle, but obviously Tooney had you covered at guard. So they trade Tooney, so now you've got two spots open. Well, here's why. Joe Tooney's 32 years old. He's got 1 year left at $15.5 million. They decide if we're going to keep him, we're going to have to extend him. We're not going to let him go into the last year of his deal. So now we're going to extend him out, and we're going to have some risk on us on the back end of this deal, whereas we have two different options we can go with in the free agency market here. We can go find a younger guard and who might be, maybe he's a little bit lesser player right now than Joe Tooney, but we think the contract would age better. And I'll give you some names. Aaron Banks is 27 years old. Will Freeze from the Colts, 27. Becton, who they just played in the Super Bowl, is 26. So that could be an option, just a one-for-one swap. We would have to extend Joe Tooney. Well, let's just give a longer contract to a younger player with the hope that that will age better, playing with a group of those other three linemen who are really solid and really young. Or, and this one makes the most sense to me, Rich, The tackle draft is not deep. We just saw it. You know, Membu is going to be long gone. Will Campbell is going to be long gone. In free agency, there's Ronnie Stanley, who's 31. Ronnie Stanley stayed healthy last year, played well. If you go that route, now you just take those resources. We get the left tackle. We have that, which was a major need for them. We solve that, and now we can find, you know, we can find that left guard in the second tier of free agency and get by, or we could find, you know, a guard, an interior offensive lineman on day two of the draft that would be sufficient there. So I just think people are looking at going, man, the offensive line got their butts kicked. Why are they not only, you know, they're subtracting, they're not adding? Well, they haven't had a chance to add yet. They're going to mix this thing around. They've got two spots to fill, and I think they'll use the draft and free agency to do it.
All right, that's why we have you on here to fit these puzzle pieces in a manner that's confusing otherwise. What about the Bears? What you're seeing out of them hitting their line for Caleb Williams, DJ? What do you think about that?
Well, I always think when you bring in players in free agency or in trades, your odds of hitting on players is much greater when you have experience. Either they have experience in the scheme or you have experience within the organization that know the player really, really well. So when you go out and get Jonah Jackson, who has experience with your head coach, that's beneficial. He's been in this offense. We know what he looks like in this offense. Joe Tooney, Ryan Poles was there when they selected him. So he's been around Joe Tooney. Obviously, Joe Tooney's play speaks for itself. You know what you're getting there. You know who he is as a person, what he's going to be in the locker room. So you start there. And then the other thing is this was their glaring need if you watched the Bears last year. If we're going to get a fair evaluation of Caleb Williams, that has to be upgraded. So not only have you already done that before free agency even starts, you've now freed yourself up a little bit in both free agency and the draft because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have just this glaring need where you've got to grossly overpay in terms of what you're going to give a free agent or you're reaching for somebody with that 10th overall pick. Now it frees up some new names there, Rich. You know, Ashton Jeanty now to me is legitimately in the conversation there if you're the Bears. You think about that. Just think about those three young guys with Adunze. You know, obviously still have DJ Moore, but let's just go with the rookies last year. Adunze, Caleb Williams, and now all of a sudden the next year you throw Ashton Jeanty in there. That can be a fun trio to grow with.
So Jeanty would be the Gibbs of this offense, if to use the Lions template in Chicago. Is that what he would be?
Yeah, I think he's almost he's not a one-for-one comp there with Gibbs. I think Gibbs has a little bit more top-end speed. I think Jeanty has more power. But, yeah, he's going to be your back. He's going to be your guy who's going to hit home runs for you. And is, you know, he can be that guy for them going forward. Also, I know you've got Cole Kmet, but if you wanted to stylistically have some fun, what if you threw Tyler Warren in there and you're out there with two tights and you've got Tyler Warren, Cole Kmet, with DJ Moore and Rome Odunze? That's, you can have some fun, creatively with that package as well. And now, you know, without having that glaring need, maybe you're in a situation where you trade back and you could completely rebuild the interior of your offensive line. What if you just trade back a few spots and you take Gray Zabel from North Dakota State and you throw him at center, and now you have completely rebuilt the interior of that offensive line in front of Caleb Williams?
I love it. There's now pieces that we can associate with who we saw at the combine to try and figure out how teams can remake themselves here in 2025. Daniel Jeremiah on the Rich Eisen Show. Normally, when you come on after the combine, we have a better sense of how you value guys at the top of the draft and the top of the draft board. But taking a look at your top 10 of your top 50 coming into the combine, only two of them worked out. So I don't know how to evaluate. That said, are you changing anything coming out of Indianapolis in any way, shape, or form, Daniel?
It's not going to be too much changed as I look at that list right there with those players. Again, it's not much to change off of. You know, maybe some measurables that you didn't know. Jalen Walker, a little bit shorter than you'd hoped. Will Campbell with the arm length was a discussion.
How about the medical on Carter? How about that?
Yeah,
Daniel.
Yeah, I didn't talk to teams that were too overly concerned there. You know, mm-hmm. there were the two options. You can kind of rest it and then still go through the process in the spring, or you could have the surgery. I mean, I kind of inquired, you know, hey, if he has the surgery, is that, you know, now it's obviously a longer recovery, is that a major issue? And it sounds like that's a little more commonplace than maybe I thought. So I didn't gather there was a ton of concern there with him. But, you know, he goes to his pro day. We'll see what that looks like. If he comes out of that looking good and feeling good, I think he's not going to move on my list.
So then what is the word that you're hearing, I guess, about the top picks and where things might land coming out of Indianapolis that might be different having come into Indianapolis? Daniel?
I mean, yeah, not a ton with the Tennessee Titans. There's not from inside Tennessee, but outside there seems to be they would love to get out of there, you know, and not fall too far, you know, to stay in range of those top few prospects. And that's, you know, teams aren't saying it, but that to me sounds like the Giants, you know, the Giants and the Browns would be the two teams maybe to try and just the little baby jump up there to the number one pick to get Cam Ward. But nothing really in terms of what Tennessee, where they were leaning if they were to stick and pick. That's still up for grabs. And I know we had Sean Payton on. I think Peter had interviewed Sean Payton.
Yes.
And he was talking about last year with, you know, with Bo Nix, and shoot, they weren't locked in and zeroed in on him until after the private workout, not even the pro day. So I think there's still some time here before we get a good feeling on where teams are leaning.
It's certainly for the quarterback front, and, you know, didn't take long for an unnamed coach to slag on a player coming out of the combine. And, you know, if knowing Deion and the Sanders family as long as I have, you could have pegged Shador as being, in those figurative crosshairs, Daniel, and not to drag you in a mosh pit here,
yeah.
But the conversation about him being brash, arrogant, or not as involved in certain conversations and in meeting rooms with teams. What did you hear about that? Anything you want to chime in on this front, Daniel?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything in that way. You know, the thing I heard from teams that met with him at the East West, because he was at the East West game and a lot of teams got a chance to visit with him. Everybody that I talked to that visited with him there enjoyed being around him and said he had a good energy about him. Obviously, he's confident in who he is, what he's accomplished. And I'd rather not have to instill confidence in my quarterback. I'll put it that way. So I have no problem with that. The teams I talked to that had talked to him there didn't really have any issues there. So I haven't talked to anybody that interviewed him at this combine, you know, recently to get any feedback, but right. that was all the stuff that I had from when he was in Dallas at the East West.
So then let's stick to the tape then. If you're hearing somebody say they don't even have him in the first round, would you agree that he's even borderline on that front, or you would disagree with that assessment, Daniel?
I think this is the statement, and I've talked about this all through the combine, about this being a starters, not stars draft, right? So there's certain players you can say, you know, we can drop them in any of the 32 buildings and they'll be fine. We've had years like that. I think those three quarterbacks, those top three quarterbacks we had last year, Rich, you know, I had big grades on those guys, and I thought, you know, they're going to be They're going to be able to make it work no matter what offensive system you want to run, no matter what environment that you're in. I thought those were kind of universal talents. I don't think this year it's the case. That's why I've said fit is more important. So it doesn't surprise me. And it's not just like Shadur. It's going to be other players at other positions. This is a fit draft. This is finding guys that fit what you do. Shadur fits certain teams and certain offenses and certain environments. I think he's got a chance to be a successful starter. But there's going to be other places where they might say, yeah, you know what, he doesn't, you know, he's not physical enough. He's not, doesn't have maybe the arm or the physicality to play in, you know, like the, you know, the Cleveland would be an interesting one with him in the AFC North. It's kind of a rugged division. So, you know, I could see, okay, maybe somebody from there wouldn't be as high on him as they would on someone like Cam Ward, who's just got a little more, you know, he's got a little more life on the ball, a little more power. So, you know, that's the, what I'm getting at is I don't read too much into it when some team says we don't have him as a first rounder. Well, he doesn't fit what you do. So that doesn't mean he's not a great fit for three or four other teams.
So then let's look at the top of the draft. Which one do you think is the best fit for Shadur that you think is quarterback needy?
Or, the two teams that I like just in terms of stylistically, yep. I like the Raiders at 6. And I like the Saints at 9.
Why?
Like just in terms of how, first of all, they both play indoors, which I love. He does not have to have a huge, huge arm. It's timing, it's accuracy, it's precision. You look at the Saints inside that division, who they're playing, where they're playing. I think that works. I think Kellen Moore, you know, everybody looks at what he did last year. Kellen Moore is always going to morph around who he has and what he has. I think if you look at what he did in Dallas with Dak in the past game, I think you could do a lot of those things with kind of a pure passer like Shadur. And, you know, Kellen Moore, his whole career was you know, as a player, was you know, anticipation, accuracy, efficiency. So I could see him appreciating the strengths of Shadur.
Which quarterback helped himself? Let's talk about kids who actually worked out. Which quarterback helped himself on Saturday, DJ?
Yeah, I would say the two that right off the top, I thought Jackson Dart was able to throw the ball well. I thought it came out well. He did a nice job, had a good workout. I mean, CJ Stroud's kind of the gold standard. We talked about that from the combine performances we've seen over the last decade. It wasn't there. It wasn't at that level, but it was really solid. He was my third quarterback coming into the combine, and he left the combine. Just watching him throw live, I felt comfortable with having him in that spot right there. And then Tyler Shuck, who's a little bit older, but you know, big, strong. He's kind of made for that. You know, if the combine throwing session is almost like the driving range, you know, he's impressive. He's impressive at the driving range. He's big and strong, and he's really got a live arm. So those are the two that stood out the most to me, with Kyle McCord being another one who was intriguing with the way he spun the ball.
Okay. And which teams do you think are on the back end of the draft that might go ahead and get their quarterback of the future while already having a bridge? Anybody that you think is looking for front loading the future right now that might, when you and I are sitting there with our colleagues on the first night in Green Bay, go, whoa, okay. There we go. What do you think?
Yeah, this wouldn't necessarily be at the back end, because I think they're more in the middle of the draft.
All right.
The team that you hear a little, you know, little chirping about is like, hey, don't sleep on them. If something were to slide, or if you know, Seattle could be a sneaky team. You know, they could be a quarterback team. So that was one that kind of, you know, that's interesting to me. You think about Geno's not young. You know, that would make sense that, you know, they've got a coach coming into his second year, Coach McDonald, mm-hmm. Trying to identify someone if it fell to him, or if it got close. Maybe that's one of those quarterback teams that we necessarily haven't been thinking of.
And then who's the guy that made you go back, or you're putting a list together of, I got to go check the tape, yeah, based on what I saw in Indianapolis? Who's at the top of that list for you, Daniel?
Well, there's a couple guys. Malachi Starks is a really, really good player who I had kind of in the bottom first. You know, I think he was maybe my 31st, 33rd player, somewhere around there. The safety out of Georgia, who didn't make as many plays this year. And then if you look at the testing, like, he ran 4.5 flat, which is good, but not in a, you know, not a great time. His shuttle drills were not great, but his field workout was phenomenal. And then on top of that, I talked to the teams that met with him and said, like, off the charts intelligence, like, this guy understands football in a big way, which at the safety position is incredibly important. So he made more plays when he was younger. So he's one of those guys like, okay, I'm gonna go back and watch some 23 tape and see him and see him get a chance to get his hands on the football a little bit more. But he's gonna move up for me definitely. And staying in the secondary, Trey Amos, the corner from Ole Miss. Well, the only question really was his speed. He's a really good player, and then he ran at, I want to say 4.43 is what he ran. So okay, that's worthy of another peek there to see if I can get him in my top 50.
Okay, just because I got in trouble with my son Cooper by calling him 13, and then he texted me, "I'm 14 now, Dad." Yeah. You had fun with that one. So Cooper
twice, by the way, twice. I did one on air, one off air.
That's true.
Yeah, sorry, Coop. I didn't want to.
No. So my 14-year-old Cooper Eisen, who is a diehard Patriot fan, who Chris, he targeted for the Patriots, not at the top of the draft. He wants Jaden Higgins. He's the one who.
Ooh, nice.
Would Higgins be a good fit for New England? Do you think?
Daniel, yeah, I'm a Higgins guy. Okay. He's got, and we said it when he was running and working out. He has a little bit of Nico Collins to him, just that kind of power forward, can go up and get it. He's pretty good getting in and out of breaks for a bigger wide receiver. Ran well. His teammate, tell him, go ahead and see if you can get a package deal too, because Jalen Knoll he had a phenomenal workout. He was awesome. So. Why not bring a couple Cyclones up to the Patriots and see if we can make some noise up there.
There you go. Before I let you go, Daniel, a couple of quarterback driven headlines I want to hit you on, and that is the non-franchise tagging of Sam Darnold. You interpret that to say, to do what? What do you make of that, Daniel?
Well, the J.J. McCarthy era is about to kick off. That's the takeaway there. I just think if he gets to the market, and he sounds like he is going to get to the market, I don't think Minnesota would have let it get to that point if they were going to really, really try and make that happen. So I would guess that Sam Darnold's probably moving on, probably done in Minnesota, and that's going to be the first domino to actually fall, right? Because Stafford didn't go anywhere, so that doesn't change the chessboard. Now all of a sudden, Sam Darnold lands somewhere. Now we get some movement, and now I think that's kind of like he's the leadoff hitter in free agency.
He sure is.
That's what kind of gets everything going.
So then, who do you think would take him? Where do you peg him? What are the spots for him?
I mean, I think does Sam want to go back to the New York market? I don't know that he would,
right?
But I would think the Giants would be in on that. I would think that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be an option, depending on if they were to get something done with Fields. It sounds like from everything Ian says and everything I've heard that it would be Fields over Russell Wilson there. So that's, but that maybe Sam Darnold gets involved there. I lobbed this tweet out, which, a lot of the Colts fans didn't appreciate, I guess. But I was like, hey, if you're the Colts, and we talked to Shane Steichen in our booth, and they said they want to bring in some competition, I think everybody kind of assumes like that's kind of maybe a flyer on some veteran. But if Sam Darnold gets to the market, I would have a hard time arguing that Anthony Richardson gives him a better chance to win next year than Sam Darnold would. So that would be one that I would, maybe keep an eye on.
Okay. And then lastly, our friend Jason Lockenfora from back in the day tweeted out that he's here in the Niners' first offer to Purdy is $45 million, and that they're playing hardball with him. How would you translate this?
I think, to me, at some point in time, the numbers are going to get thrown around. We'll see what gets out publicly. I think it's in the interest of the player and the team to get it worked out. And to me, Kyle just loves him so much and has not been shy about it. And he can operate what he wants exactly how he wants. I would imagine that's this thing's going to get done. I'd be pretty confident that they'll find some common ground there. What that number looks like, if that gets to, maybe it's 50, a little over 50. I don't think he's going to reset the market there at 60, but it makes too much sense. It's such a good fit. Just figure it out how you're going to get it done. But by the sound of it, with Ayuk potentially being on the trade market, we got to get some more receivers in here, Rich. We got to find some guys for him to throw to.
DJ, really appreciate your two cents as always. You're truly the best. I love sitting next to you on the combine. The two of us just have a blast. You make it so easy and fun.
You're the best. You're You are the best. I'm just mad at you for one reason. You never told me that you had an acting gig. I found out from my wife, mm-hmm. and she's watching the show, and said you did a phenomenal job. I didn't even know. It's just, that's humility, because with Rich, you know, he's not going to broadcast all that he's got going on in his acting career. You're just going to find out from your wife. That's how it works.
That's it. Yeah. I'm going for the EGOT, Daniels. How's that now? I'm just going to go throw that out there. I'm going for the EGOT.
On your way, buddy.
Thank you, pal. DJ, he didn't even tell us about it. I was shocked. That's what I'm saying. I had no idea.
Popped up.
Okay. It's just the way we're going.
I haven't watched Wicked yet. Do you have a role in that thing?
Definitely do not. But still see it. You should still watch it. Okay. Take care, DJ. You're the best.
See you, buddy.
In the NFL, there's no margin for error. As we just saw, one mistake can change the outcome of a game and a season, and the biggest game at that. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. And that's why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, because they provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Imagine what it can do for you. I know, my Sleep Number setting is 60, my wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but guess what? It makes the world of difference. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Can you just clean that up, please, sir? Thank you. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax, and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
A host, another host of this fantastic event from Modern Family, Eric Stone Street. And I will give you the floor to introduce the guest that you have brought to your left, Eric.
This is Kansas City Chief right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I deserve it.
Good to see you, Mitchell.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You got it. Now, you have been sending me texts about Mitchell and what he stands for, and I don't want to talk about him as if he's not here, but...
Yeah, well, you know, I said I'll bring somebody on as a guest. You know, it's always fun to bring somebody on, and we're here in Kansas City, and thank you for doing this. I can't say it enough. This is amazing that you brought your whole show here. Whole show is here in Kansas City in support of Big Slick, and we appreciate it very much.
You better.
But when I said I wanted to bring a guest on, I'm like, well, I want to bring on who I wanted to be when I was a kid, and that was an offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I've been fortunate enough to get to know Mitchell and know what a good guy he is and what a great player he is. So I wanted to share this moment with the right tackle for the Chiefs, my favorite football team. Not that I need to tell anybody that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I got to know him, I guess, at the end of last year, and we hit it off right away. We both like food. We have a lot of shared interests. He asked me where I got my meat, and we go to the same meat guy.
He goes to the same butcher here in Kansas City. I said, serious question, though, Mitch, where do you buy your meat in Kansas City? He's like, oh, this place called Bicklemeyer's. And I'm like, okay, you're in. You're good.
So, because I know how seriously you take your Kansas City food, Eric. You know, I do know. You have actually cooked for me.
Yes,
you've actually handed me your actual fruits of your cooking labor.
My loins.
You have. Well, I mean, hold on a second. Yes, in a way, no question about that. But you guys go to the same butcher here.
We do,
in the city.
Yeah. Which so, is, I mean, when I got here, I like to cook. I was confined to an apartment in my previous life, and I got here, I got a house, got a whole backyard set up. I mean, this guy's got the greatest backyard setup you could ever imagine for cooking, and he's sending me videos all the time, different stuff to try. And
the text exchange between me and him and some of his other offensive linemen that are into smoking is hilarious. Like, One night, I put a brisket on, and it was like we were kind of coordinating with the time difference of putting a brisket on around the same time. And I woke up to check my brisket and texted Mitch at 4 in the morning LA time, which was Kansas City 6 a.m. time. And I told Lindsay, my girlfriend, I'm like, I texted Mitchell Schwartz in the middle of the night about a brisket. Like, what
and
is
I
going
responded.
On?
And he responded. For whatever reason, I was up at that exact time, and we were, because I was doing a brisket the next night. So we kind of throw ideas off each other, see what we do. I think he was doing like a 24-hour,
oh, yeah,
super slow, got all jiggly and gooey, and the bark was perfect.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, everything's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/RichEisenShow, as we are steamrolling towards 1 million followers on that front.
Choo-choo.
Should we have a party?
Yes.
If we cross one, yeah. When we cross 1 million?
I bet we'll get there by the start of the season.
I don't know. We'll see.
We got.
I just don't want to punch the clown on that
this
front.
This morning, I think we got 903,000. So
is that right?
Yeah.
904
now.
Okay. Yeah, you've been away a long time.
904,000.
We don't do 903 no more.
239.
Let's do it.
We'll have a party.
Let's have a party on the roof over here.
You know why? Because that's what influencers do.
Oh, you are an influencer, bro.
You know.
You get all the other influencers to come party with you.
Nope, 739.
I sneak up on people and influence.
You've been influencing for a quarter of a decade, though, bro.
A decade?
I mean, or a quarter of a century.
My God. Back on the Rich Eisen show.
My bad. Quarter of a century. Goodness, you know Matt's not my thing.
At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Everybody. Terzo in Iowa. You're here on the program. What's up, Terzo? How you been? All rise.
Oh, I've been doing pretty well, Rich. Kind of a terrible snowy day here in Des Moines.
Okay.
And I know we kind of have some pet peeves at times, but people that do not use a blinker when driving in a snowstorm.
What's going on?
Absolutely one of the dumbest things in the world.
What's going
on? Just use your blinker, people.
My God. Terzo, way to speak for blinker safety. I appreciate that. You must have gone to blinker school.
Well.
Yes.
I just have to, you know, at times defend people in traffic court, so sometimes it's, you know, one of those things.
You've seen the bad side. Yeah, up close.
I've seen the bad stuff, Rich. Yes, I've seen it. Hey, Rich, I can't believe Brockman, you've joined the Bang Bang Niner gang. Congratulations. Well, I've been waiting for you to jump on the bandwagon.
As long as they hold the line on Purdy, he will be Bang Bang Niner ganging for sure.
Late 80s, when I lived in Alaska, I was a Niner fan because I lived on the West Coast.
Okay.
I do appreciate that. I just think that they are going to hold the line with him. And just knowing Brock, and we've talked about it before, I think he's going to see that one good contract is great. Two or three really good contracts are better. And if you win in San Francisco, come on, man, you're going to be a Niner for life. Look at Steve Young. He said it best on Monday.
Thank you, Terzo. Appreciate it. It'll get done. It'll get done with starting with a five, and we can all go back to our homes. Hour number two is on the other side with George Raveling in studio. It's going to get done, you know?
But about us, Rich, looking at the metrics of our following count,
yes.
A year ago today,
yes.
We were at 727,000.
1 year ago today?
Yeah, and we're at 904 right now. On September 6th, we hit 800,000.
Okay.
And on December 1st, we hit 850,000. So
okay.
We're getting there before the season.
Okay, very good. Oh, when's the season getting here?
September, it's an early start this year.
You know, it's interesting.
Labor Day's early, so
there you go.
Week one is like September 4th.
I mean, we've been influencing for a quarter of a month.
September 4th is kickoff.
He's not even paying attention over there now.
I'm sitting
what are you tapped out? What are you doing? Watching Del Tufo hand feed a rodent? What are you doing over there?
I'm on the YouTube page looking at the analytics, what Chris was just looking at.
Okay.
I'm just staring at these, 904,000.
The numbers are in.
Just looking at the numbers, trying to figure it out.
It's just numbers. It really, the
look, I don't know the difference between a decade and a century.
That's all right. You know what's in between the numbers?
What's that?
Influencing. influencing.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Yeah.
Before you left the X, you had a million, right? You had a million followers.
1.3.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's and all day.
And 500,000 of them, I think, were Sarah Palin saw them from her house.
Yeah. That was fun back in the day, looking at the Twitter audit to see like what percentage of your followers was real.
Who was buying them?
Yeah,
Who's buying them, huh?
Yeah.
People were buying them. I don't know. I just, you know what? I just started tweeting and let the influencing happen. You know, sometimes you just gotta, you've got, that's how you influence. If you try too hard to influence, you just start, you're over-influencing and you don't want to do that. Yeah.
You can't plan on being an influencer. It just naturally happens.
That's right. You either have it when you wake up or you don't. And I have it.
You don't want to over-influence.
You don't.
You don't want to.
Then you don't wind up influencing. Yeah. And that's what I want to do.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I feel you.
You know, one second you're just watching Netflix and there I am on the Tom Brady roast. Next time you're watching Netflix and there I am.
You kicked off the
roast.
I
did. And I helped. I believe I was in the first episode of Running Point as well, right?
Like I told DJ, you didn't tell. I'm watching the Brady roast. There you are. I'm like, yo, what? Like, you don't tell us anything.
First, third, and fourth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're in a couple, man.
Damn right it's me.
Being that I was at the Brady roast, I saw Rich setting up before, and I'm like, hey, he's kicking off the show.
Oh, but you didn't know, though, right?
I didn't know. I mean, I watched it happen in front of me.
See, that's my career. My career has been a higher register career for over a quarter century.
Yeah,
I've been higher in Finn's career. It's always been like, hey, look where you are.
Hey, good job.
Good for you.
Sneaky Rich.